arts, culture, and entertainment in the Coachella Valley. This is the Desert Scene with Bonnie G from the Mutual Broadcasting System. Here's Bonnie.
And welcome to the Desert Scene. So happy to have you with us and very happy to welcome to the show Lee Mills, who is the new executive director of the Palm Springs Friends of Philharmonic. Hi, Lee. How are you?
Hi, Bonnie. I'm very well. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So how new are you? When did you first get this title?
I started on February 5th, so okay. I'm about 6.5 weeks into it.
Okay. And how's it going so far?
It's going very well. It was a very busy time to start this role. You know, we were right in the middle of our season and coming up on our final board meetings of our fiscal year. So finishing and presenting the budget for next year and finalizing the programming for our 2025 mm-hmm. season. So it's been a very busy time. But, you know, I've had such a great time getting to know our patrons, our subscribers, our audience, and working with all the orchestras who have come through. We've had some really spectacular concerts to close out our season. Yeah. So it's really been a blast.
So tell us a little bit about your background and your road to this particular position.
I am an orchestra conductor. I still am an orchestra conductor, and I started playing piano when I was taking lessons when I was 4, but that's because I started kind of tinkering around with it when I was 3 years old and begging my parents to get me lessons. Mm-hmm. And throughout school, I added trumpet and French horn and I sang in choirs, and I was just always very musical. It wasn't until my second year of college that I came across conducting, and I really fell in love with it. And so I asked, my academic advisor if it would be possible for me to focus on conducting. And I went to Whitman College in Walla Walla, Washington, which is a very small liberal arts college. Mm-hmm. And they're quite flexible. So they helped me sort of build a curriculum so that I could major in music, but with a focus on conducting, which they had never done before.
Excellent.
It was amazing. And I had my own orchestra that I conducted about 4 concerts a year with. Mm-hmm. And then I went to graduate school at the Peabody Institute in Baltimore, part of Johns Hopkins University. Mm-hmm. After that, I was a conducting fellow with the Baltimore Symphony. I was a resident conductor of the Brazilian Symphony Orchestra from 2014 until 2019. And then I was associate conductor of the Seattle Symphony until 2022. And so now I'm mostly working as a freelance guest conductor. But during the pandemic, I was kind of sitting on my hands, as you could imagine, mm-hmm. That first year. There was, nothing. We couldn't have live performances or anything, so I decided to do something with my free time, and I started my MBA, which I just actually had my last classes finished a couple of weeks ago. And in doing this, I became really intrigued with business and strategy, and mm-hmm. I thought it would be engaging and fulfilling to work on the business side of the music industry as well. Mm-hmm. So that's when I started looking for jobs and came across this one, which I love. Palm Springs and the Coachella Valley, so the idea of moving here and having this job
sounded good.
Perfect fit.
So I have a question for you. What would you say, and I don't know if this is a simple answer or not, is the key, what makes a symphony conductor a good symphony conductor?
Oh, that's a complicated question. You know, a lot of it depends also on it's not just about the conductor. A lot of it is about the orchestra, too. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a relationship that you have to establish. So different orchestras might need different things out of their conductors.
Okay.
A good symphony conductor for a university orchestra will be a different set of requirements than a good symphony orchestra for, you know, the kind of orchestra that we bring in here, like San Francisco Symphony, which we just had. You know, part of it, but there are some elements that are universal, and I think the strongest one is having the passion and the dedication to really research and understand the music.
And have
some sort of inner connection to it so that it means something to you, you know, and if the music means something to you and you can be passionate and fall in love with it, then, you know, the rest will happen. You know, there's questions about technique and all of this other stuff. But I've seen, you know, I've seen conductors that have basically no technique whatsoever, but know everything about the music and just love it. And when you're with a, you know, this is the difference between like a university orchestra, for example. These professional orchestras, they can play together all by themselves.
Right.
They don't necessarily need you to have a really clear beat with your baton. What they need is to understand what the story
is
that you're telling in the music is,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so that's really the defining factor, I think, of what makes a good conductor, yeah. if they are just really in love with what they're doing.
Yeah, I love that. All right, let's talk about the season. So the 2024-2025 concert series in the Callum Theater. Can you give us a little preview on some of that?
Yeah, I can give you a lot of preview because we just announced it last night at our concert.
Yay.
So we've got a lot of great stuff coming up. The season starts in late January with the Los Angeles Philharmonic on January 21st at the McCallum. We have Philippe Jourdan, who is he's a Swiss conductor. He's the music director of the Vienna Staatsoper. And he's just doing a ring cycle right now, actually, over there. And he will conduct this concert with the LA Phil, and it's featuring Yefim Bronfman at the piano, who's a perennial favorite of ours. He's such a fantastic pianist. He'll be playing Beethoven Piano Concerto No. 5, the Emperor Concerto, and then the orchestra will play Tchaikovsky's Symphony No. 6, the Pathétique, which is quite an emotional journey in and of itself. After that, we have San Diego Symphony on February 2nd with Rafael Payari and Alexander Malofiev, who is this wunderkind pianist. He actually won the Tchaikovsky International competition for young musicians when he was 13 years old.
Wow.
He'll be playing Prokofiev's Piano Concerto No. 3, and the orchestra will also play Beethoven's Symphony No. 3, which is the Eroica, which just kind of moved monumentally the trajectory of orchestral music and really all classical music when Beethoven wrote it. It's
mm-hmm.
quite a rebel of a piece. Then we have the London Symphony Orchestra on February 19th. They're coming all the way over from London, and they are bringing their chief conductor, Sir Antonio Papano, and this fantastic superstar violinist, Janine Jensen. And they will be playing George Walker's Symphonia No. 5, Visions. And George Walker just passed away recently, actually, but he composed this piece in 2016 in response to the 2015 shooting at the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina. So it's a really moving piece, very personal. And then we have Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto, which, I mean, if you're going to hear a violin concerto, this is the one you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
If any of your listeners haven't been to a concert, this is going to be amazing. And then it ends with Gustav Mahler's Symphony No. 1, the Titan Symphony, which is just another kind of a blockbuster program here.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Pacific Symphony on March 11th. They will be playing Bernstein's Slava, which is a piece he wrote to commemorate Rostropovich's appointment as the music director of the National Symphony Orchestra.
Okay.
And we have Viet Quang, who is a young composer, is from my generation. They're doing a world premiere of a piece of his, so that will be exciting. And we have Respighi's Pines of Rome on that concert, who is an Italian composer and wrote these beautiful pieces representing these scenes that he has. He has one for Fountains of Rome, and this one that we're playing here is representing the pine forests of Rome. And then we finish the season with a bang. We have the Israel Philharmonic on Saturday, March 22nd, with Lahav Shani conducting. He's their music director, doing Mendelssohn Symphony No. 3, the Scottish Symphony, and finishing with Tchaikovsky's Symphony No. 5, which is just this, has one of the greatest finales, I think, of symphonic music ever. So that's going to be another
excellent,
fantastic concert. Yeah.
So I have two questions that I thought of when you were giving us that list here. Thinking about logistics, like, for instance, bringing the whole London Symphony over from London to here, just travel and planes and hotels, that's a lot. Just the logistics must be crazy.
Yeah, so there is an entire industry, a sub-industry of our industry
mm-hmm.
that makes all of this happen. Yeah, it's got a lot of moving parts. Just scheduling these concerts is I was telling somebody it's kind of like juggling, except for if instead of neatly like tossing three balls back and forth between your hands, you just throw up like 30 balls up in the air and try to catch them.
See what comes down, yeah.
The ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot that goes into this. There are all of these orchestras, most of them are represented by agencies, booking agencies who try to put together some sort of logical tour for them that makes sense financially, that makes sense given right. whatever their mission is. You know, some orchestras want to be more present in certain areas. Some orchestras have a big donor base in some areas, you know, whatever the reasons are. And they'll try to put together an itinerary. So we usually string together our foundation here, the Palm Springs Friends of Philharmonic, and they'll usually also do something in Costa Mesa at the Segerstrom and do something out in Santa Barbara at Tucanada. So, you know, we can put together enough concerts that it makes financial sense
yeah.
for them to, you know, because it costs millions of dollars to bring these orchestras over here internationally.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they need to make sure that it can pay off. And so that's what their booking agents do, is try to put together tour routings that meet the orchestra's mission and also are viable financially.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole other, you know, travel industry that is contracted not by me, but by the orchestras that manage, you know, the logistics and of getting everybody on the plane and on their buses right. and transporting all of the instruments.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Well, that kind of sort of answers my other question, was going to be how do you choose them and how do you book a season? But a lot of it depends on their availability and the agencies and what makes sense for them. And so that it is like a big jigsaw puzzle. My goodness. It must take a while to put this all together.
Yeah. A lot of it depends on their availability. You know, some are easier for us to get here, you know, like Los Angeles
right.
and San Diego.
They can just drive.
Load up on
yeah.
a bus and drive out and they can be back in their beds at the end of the night.
Yeah.
And that's great. We have wonderful relationships with these orchestras in our area, and we have really great orchestras in Southern California to draw on.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, we love to have, you know, as many international orchestras as we can. And some of them, you know, are set up to be touring all the time. We recently just had the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, and the way their whole business model, you know, they're a touring machine. They go on tours all the time. And some of them don't go on tours as frequently, and it takes some convincing to, you know,
right.
we do get a little bit of a say. Sometimes we can reach out and say, hey, we really want this orchestra. Can we try to make it happen? Mm-hmm. Other times, you know, these booking agents that I told you about, I get emails from them all the time. I meet with them. I you know, I know who they are. Many of them are familiar to me because I dealt with them as conductor as well.
Yeah.
So it's all the same network. And I'm happy to say that, you know, things shut down in the pandemic and they were pretty slow to pick back up. But as we're looking into 2025, and then also I'm already starting planning 2026, there's a lot more activity going on in that front. So I think there's going to be a lot more availability for some of these orchestras coming up.
All right. So context. So your website, www.psphil, capital P, capital S, capital P, lowercase HIL.org, www.psphil.org. Subscription 760-341-1013. Well, Lee Mills, congratulations on your new gig and continued success to you. And thank you so much for being here today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
All right, Lee Mills, thank you. And we'll talk to the rest of you the next time on The Desert Scene.
This program was produced by the Mutual Broadcasting System.